Parashas Mas'ei. Hashem commanded Moshe, write down the name of each place where the Yidden traveled and they stopped off during their 40 years in the Midbar. The first place that Moshe wrote down was Ramesses. It was in this Egyptian town that the Yidden gathered together to start their traveling out of Mitzrayim into the Midbar. Then Moshe wrote down that their first station where they stopped off was in a place called Sukkos. And why was it called Sukkos? Because that's where Hashem gave the Yidden the Anane HaKavod, the clouds of glory, to cover them and protect them. The Yidden stayed overnight in Sukkos, and the next day they traveled on from Sukkos to Esam. It was then that Hashem told Moshe that the Yidden should turn backwards towards a place, Pi HaChirois, that is, on the way to the Yam Suf, the Red Sea. Moshe continued writing down the name of each place where the Yidden camped. The entire list included 42 places. The last place is Arvois Moav, the plains of Moav, where Moshe and all the Yidden are right now, just about ready to enter Eretz Yisrael. Our Chachamim tell us that there are several reasons why Hashem wanted Moshe to write down the names of all the places that the Yidden camped in the Midbar. One reason is in order to let everyone know the kindness of Hashem, that even though Hashem decreed that the Yidden will have to move around in the Midbar for 40 years, Hashem did it in a very merciful way. Hashem didn't make them travel during the entire 40 years without any rest. Hashem gave them many, many stops on the way, where they were able to stay for a long time. In fact, one of the places that the Yidden stopped was a place called Kadesh. Over there, they rested 19 years. Our Chachamim go on to say that if we take a look in the Chumash, and we will see that of the 42 stops that the Yidden had to make during their 40 years, 14 of them were done right at the beginning of their traveling. That is, from since they left Mitzrayim until the story of the Meraglim, which was during the second year. And then if we take a look at the end of their travelings, the last 8 stops was in the 40th year. So that means what we're left with are the 38 years in between, during which the Yidden camped only 20 times. So this shows us the kindness of Hashem, that even though He decreed that the Yidden will have to wander in the Midbar for 40 years, nevertheless, 38 of those years, the Yidden had to camp only in 20 places. Yes, this is Hashem's kindness, that even though Hashem decreed that the Yidden should be in the Midbar for so many years, Hashem nevertheless did it in a very comfortable way. Then our Chachamim give us another reason why Moshe wrote down the names of the places where the Yidden stopped during their travelings in the Midbar. Our Chachamim compare it to a king whose son was sick, and the king took him to a distant place to cure him. After he was cured, the king started his way back home. By each stop, the king said to his son, "Oh, over here? Here we slept." When they came to another place, he said to his son, "Here we felt cold." When they came to another place, The father said to his son, "Here, you had a headache." And so on and so forth. The same thing Moshe wants to tell the Yidden and remind them of all the things that happened to them during their 42 stops traveling through the Midbar. The first thing is what happened by Sukkos. "Here we slept," Moshe told them. As we learned before, they stayed overnight in the place called Sukkos. And then, by the next traveling from Sukkos to Esam, Moshe said, "It's then when we got called off." That's right, because it was by Sukkos that Hashem gave us the clouds of glory to cool us off and protect us from the hot blazing sun. And then Moshe told the Yidden about the third place, from Esam to Pi Hachidos. What happened over there? Well, if we take a look in Parshas Beshalach, we will see that that's where some Yidden complained to Moshe when they saw the Mitzrayim and Parai chasing after them, and the Yidden had the big Yamsuf in front of them. Some Yidden called out and said, "Moshe, why did you have to take us out of Mitzrayim? It would have been much better if you would have let us stay in Mitzrayim and work for the Egyptians." Yes, they were using their brain, but for the wrong thing. A Yid should use his brain to think how he can serve Hashem better. Use the brain to learn Torah and understand Hashem's holy Torah, but not to use it to go against Hashem and give reasons why they should return to Mitzrayim. This is compared to the son of the king, to whom the king says, "Here is where you had a headache," which for the Yidden it means, "Here is the place that you used your head in thinking wrong against Hashem. You should have listened to Hashem and obeyed Moshe." The same thing is with the rest of the list of all the places that Moshe wrote down. It's in order to remind the Yidden of what went on and what happened by each station, in order that they should learn a lesson for the future. For example, when a father would read the name of the place Dafka, he would tell his children, "Listen, children, do you know what happened when the Yidden came to Dafka? That's where Hashem made the man fall down from heaven." Yes, the Yidden were in an empty desert where no plants grew, and the Yidden worried, from where are they going to get food? But Hashem gave them what they need. And that's why the place was called Dafka, because Dafik means a beat, like a heartbeat, because that's where the Yidden's heart beat, anxiously worried about what are they going to eat. But Hashem showed them, by having betachin in Hashem, Hashem will provide them with all that they need. Hashem gave them man, slav birds, water from the well of Miriam. He surrounded them with the clouds of glory. In fact, the tzaddikim among the Yidden never had to walk. That's right, they didn't have to wander. Well, how did they travel? The clouds of glory that were spread underneath the Yidden carried them. They were like on a bus or on a train. They didn't even have to walk. Then we come to a place which is called Risma. Risma is the place where the spies spoke Lashon Hara, bad things against Eretz Yisrael. And that's why it's called Risma, because Lashon Hara is compared to the wood, which is called Risma. What kind of wood is that? Well, our Chachamim tell us a story about two travelers in the desert who rested under a Risma bush. Usually it's called a broom shrub. They cut down some of its branches, and then they kindled a fire for cooking their food. A whole year passed, and again they passed by the same place. "Oh, look, this is the bush where we stopped last year. Let's rest here again." They stepped on the ashes of their old fireplace with their bare feet, because they wore no shoes. Suddenly they felt their feet are getting burnt. Yes, the Risma wood coals were still hot inside, even though you would never notice it by looking from the outside. Wow, how amazing is this wood? It's still glowing after a whole year. Yes, now we can understand why Achachamim compared Lashon Hara to Risma wood. Because if someone listens to Lashon Hara about another person, he may make believe on the outside of him that he forgot about it, but deep in his mind, the Lashon Hara keeps glowing. That's right. Its bad effect lasts for a long time. And since the spies had spoken Lashon Hara, and the Yidden accepted it, that place was called Risma, reminding us how to stay away from Lashon Hara. And now the Medrash gives us another reason why all these names are mentioned. These places deserve to be mentioned in order to honor them, because they made Hachnasas Archim for all the Yidden during their wanderings. Yes, they were honored, even though places have no free choice. They can't open the doors or close it, yet they are honored by being mentioned in the Torah. This teaches us the great reward of Achnosas Archim. If a Yid who has a choice and opens up his house to someone who needs food or a place to sleep, how much more Hashem will honor him. And now the Torah tells us that Hashem spoke to Moshe, and he said to him, "Tell the Yidden that when you go over the Yarden into the land of Canaan, make sure that you get rid of all of the Goyishan nations. You may not settle among the seven nations who live there now. After you conquer the land, drive them out. These nations worship idols, and they do other bad things. If you live together with them, you will chas v'shalom imitate their wicked ways. This is the condition to be able to stay in the land, is by getting rid of the Goyim. Destroy all of their houses of worship, all of their idols, and all of the Goyish stuff that they have there. Get rid of that, and only then will you be able to stay in the land peacefully." In Chumash Devarim Parshas Vayeschanan, there will be more details about this mitzvah. Then Hashem told Moshe the exact border lines of Eretz Yisrael, in order that the Yidden should know the exact border lines in the east, north, and south of the land, and the western border of Eretz Yisrael is the Mediterranean Sea. Now why must the Yidden know the borders? And the answer is because there are many mitzvahs that are only done in Eretz Yisrael. For example, the mitzvah of giving truma and maaser from grain, wine, and olive oil, and our Chachamim added to this, that we give truma and maaser also from all other fruits and vegetables that grow in Eretz Yisrael. Those who live outside of Eretz Yisrael do not have to give truma and maaser. So that's why we need to know the exact borders of the land to know whether a certain thing grew in Eretz Yisrael or not. Now it says in Shulchan Aruch that even those who live outside of Eretz Yisrael have a mitzvah to give maaser, to give at least a tenth of all of their earnings for tzedakah. It's even better, says the Shulchan Aruch, to give a fifth of all of your earnings for tzedakah. And Hashem promises us that by giving tzedakah, Hashem will repay us with so much more. And now, the Torah tells us that Hashem told Moshe that when the Yidden come to Eretz Yisrael, and they'll divide up the land, after all the Yidden get their share in their land, they should give 48 cities to the Levium. That's right. They shouldn't keep all the land for themselves, but they should give 48 cities for the Levium to live in all different parts of Eretz Yisrael. You see, the Levium served Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, and they were the ones who taught Torah to all the Yidden. So they had no time to farm, so therefore they weren't given a portion in Eretz Yisrael. That's why Hashem said, give the Levium 48 cities spread out all over Eretz Yisrael. And then Hashem said, of these 48 cities, 6 of these cities should be Arei Miklat. That is, cities to protect someone who killed another Yid by mistake. We're soon going to learn more about it. Now, since there were cities of Levium all over Eretz Yisrael, each neighborhood had teachers to teach Torah to the Yidden. And Hashem said, each of these 48 cities must have an open area of 1,000 amos. That's around 2,000 feet around this city. And this space must remain open to beautify the city. You're not allowed to plant there. You're not allowed to bring your animals there. There was just supposed to be an open space. So when the Yidden came to learn Torah from the Levium, they were impressed with the beautiful landscape. This helped them honor their Torah teachers. And then Hashem said that this open area that's around each city should be encircled by a second area around it, where the Levium were allowed to plant orchards, vineyards, and also graze their cattle. And you know that when Mashiach comes, Shevet Levi will also be given a portion in Eretz Yisrael. It's not that they're going to start working on the farms then. In fact, none of the Yidden will have to work then on the farms. Hashem is going to see to it that others will take care of the farming of the Yidden, so that the Levium and all the Yidden will be busy studying Torah. And now, Hashem told Moshe that he should choose 3 cities on the east side of the Yarden, where Shevet Reuven and Gad and half of Shevet Menasheh are living. And over there Moshe should make 3 Arei Miklat, 3 cities for protection. And later, Yahushua, when he comes into Eretz Yisrael, he should make another 3 cities in Eretz Yisrael, Arei Miklat, cities for protection. What's this protection for? If one Yid kills another Chas V'Shalim, he immediately escapes to one of the 6 cities, called Ir Miklat. Afterwards, the judges of the Sanhedrin bring him to court in order to find out whether he killed the person on purpose or by mistake. If the judges find out that it was done on purpose, then the murderer may not return to the Ir Miklat. Instead, he is put to death by the Beis Din. Of course, this is only if there were 2 witnesses who saw him kill him, and the 2 witnesses have warned him before he did it. Then Beis Din would put him to death. But if the judges decide that the murder happened by accident, for example, the person was chopping wood, and the iron of his axe flew off and killed someone who was passing by, then, instead of putting him to death, they just send him back to the Ir Miklat, since he killed the person only by mistake. On the other hand, he's not completely free to go home, but since he did an Avera and such a terrible avera. By mistake, he has to go for a kapara, for forgiveness, and he has to stay in the Eir Miklat. And only there is he safe from the Goyel Hadam, the blood redeemer. That means the murdered person's closest relative, who might want to take revenge from the one who murdered the person, even though he did it by mistake. So the Torah says that only if the person ran to the Eir Miklat will he be safe from the Goyel Hadam. Yes, the Goyel Hadam has the right to kill the murderer anywhere outside of the Eir Miklat, but never inside the Eir Miklat. Now, why should the Torah allow the Goyel Hadam to kill the murderer outside of the Eir Miklat, even though he did it by mistake? Well, to understand this, let's see what the Torah tells us about the sin of murder.